Welcome to episode 39 of Behaviorally Speaking, a podcast featuring board-certified behavior analysts Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi. On this episode, they talk about ways to keep kids safe online, with friends, and out in the community. And now, here are your hosts, Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi.
Hello, and welcome to our 39th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. I'm one of your hosts, Angela Nelson, board-certified behavior analyst and mother of two.
And I'm Kristen Bondi, also a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of three. Hey there, Angie. How's it going?
Hello. We're winding down. I mean, at the time of recording, this is like the last little bit of summer before my kids go back to school. Mm,
yes. Well, mine started today. So it's one of those. I was thinking about it this morning, too, because, of course, like I was thinking when we started this, we say this all the time, but when we started this, I think my kids were like, I don't even know, 2 and 4 or something. No. I don't know. And now my middle child is going into kindergarten.
Yeah, and it was just elementary schoolers now.
You know, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners like the kindergarten and you just like hold back the tears. You know, everybody talks about it, but it's like, it's a real thing.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. I know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was good, though. I mean, it was so funny. Like, everybody jumped out of bed, of course, and was so excited. And my daughter, this school has uniforms, which I love. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is so great. So she, of course, you know, had to put the princess dresses aside to put her uniform on this morning. But she did really well. And then I was talking to my husband about it because it's such a contrast from when my oldest started kindergarten. Mm-hmm. When he started 2 years ago, we couldn't even walk him in. It was just like car line only. And mm-hmm. he just cried and was like, you know, running for the car and crying. And then she today was just like, bye, see you later. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this it? So
aww.
Polar opposite children.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
It was good though. It was great. So,
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, I know my older one is finishing starting her last year of elementary school. Oh, can't believe in a year from now we'll have a middle schooler. So, ooh, yeah.
I can't believe that either. Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into what we're talking about today. I know we have some anecdotes actually about mm-hmm. this topic before we dive in. So today we're going to be talking about keeping kids safe. And this is a really important one, especially as kids are going back to school. I know you and I, when we were kind of thinking about and doing some research on this topic, we were thinking, is it more dangerous these days for kids? Mm-hmm. Is it right. less, you know, have the dangers yeah. changed? Are there more kidnappings now or fewer kidnappings now? Or like, you know, we did things differently when we were kids, right? You know, running through the woods without cell phones and stuff. And what we found, interestingly, is several sources said it's actually safer to be a kid now. I think they were including all sorts of different sources of danger, though, right? There's lower childhood death rates now, but there's lower crime rates. We're wondering, like, is it that we're just hearing about more things now because of the media and just how widespread and easy and quick it is? So we thought, why not do a topic on keeping kids safe in, you know, in this decade? It's an important one.
Yeah. Yeah. This was so mind blowing though. I remember when we were prepping for this and I was thinking, is it just because I'm a parent now? Like all of a sudden I see all the dangers in the world and maybe, you know, when you're a kid, like you had said, when I was mm-hmm. a kid too, I remember during the summer, I would just go run around like in the woods in Pennsylvania and just with my friend and we'd like pack a lunch and we'd be gone for the whole day. Nobody was even looking for us like the whole day. And again, no cell phones or anything. And I'm thinking, boy, I don't know that I would be okay with my kids doing that right now. So that's kind of what sparked this interest in this topic. But yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah. So right before we started filming this, my kids, ironically, this is a true story. My kids said, Mom, what do you think about us riding our bikes down to the park by ourselves? I'm thinking like, wow, the irony of this whole podcast. Wow. You know, and you kind of go through the, am I being a bad parent? Are they old enough? Am I being too strict? Because certainly I was doing that at their age. I grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles, you know, and we were in a pretty safe neighborhood. So we were definitely out on our bikes alone for hours with our friends. So they don't have cell phones yet, but they have watches, just plain old digital watches. So I said, bring your watch. You need to be back by noon and look out for your sister. Stay together. Some of the things we're going to talk about today that were new learnings for me, I actually integrated into, you know, like if you see an adult, you know, that you don't know, this is what you do. Right. So
I love that. Yeah.
We're going to give them a little bit of autonomy today. And I told them this is your chance to earn some trust and see how it goes. So
yeah,
I'll report back.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh boy. I can't wait. Can we just stay on till noon your time?
Yeah.
So I can find out.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good. Yeah. Share some of what you taught them along the way as we go through ours. But yeah, so I guess what we're talking about is, although we learned, right, our findings were that, well, it's a little bit more safe than it used to be, it's still good for us to be informed parents. And I think a lot of parents want to know, what can I do to make sure that my child is safe? And along with that, what can I do to make sure my child is safe online, at school, with friends? So we kind of broke it out that way, because when we think about safe, there's various areas that we could be talking about. So,
right.
Yeah. So let's start with friends, right? And ironically, I just had a call with a parent who lives in a different country, actually, but his kids, well, he lives in the US, but his kids live in a different country, and he goes and visits them in the summer and just kind of checks and balances and makes sure everything's going okay. And, a lot of what we're talking to, I'm going to list off is what he was doing this whole summer, because his kids are teenagers and kind of gallivanting the town, and they've got a lot of freedom. And he's just like, how do I know that they're okay? So a few things. And I think probably the first thing that you can do as a parent to make sure your kids are okay with their friendships is know who your child's hanging out with. So that's probably first and foremost. And we talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I think there's various ways you can do that, right? I mean, sometimes as kids get into teenager age, they don't really necessarily want to know or want you to know who they're hanging out with. But I think finding ways that you can be around where they are, right? So if they're in sports, okay, go to the sporting events, see who they're talking to. If they're if there's a party, right, and you're dropping off, right, just peek in, see who they're talking to. So I think there's a variety of ways that you can figure it out, but definitely knowing who you're children are friends with can be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another one is starting the conversations early, right? So similar to what we just talked about, having those conversations ahead of time about peer pressure and things like drugs and sex, right? So like, when do we bring these things up? Well, the earlier the better, right? So making sure that you're kind of addressing those situations when they're not already happening potentially. And I know we talked about letting the kind of the school sometimes lead the way in terms of like when we start these conversations. So maybe even looking at like the school curriculum and when are they talking about certain things? And then you can kind of piggyback off of that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a good way to kind of gauge, you know, are you kind of tracking, generally speaking, in terms of the developmental sequence? There's obviously differences across different states, but, you know, it's good to use as a guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And another thing, and this one doesn't always, we don't always think about this one as parents, but a lot of times we might talk at our kids, right? Like, hey, you know, have you heard of peer pressure? Or you can just say no, right? Or, you know, and a lot of times we're like, we check that box, right? But for some kids, you kind of got to role play it and you got to practice and you got to make them feel more comfortable doing it. Because if you're asking them to say no to a peer and they're not so comfortable doing it, they might be less likely to do it. So definitely practice this. Say, hey, do you want to role play it a couple times? And really helping them feel comfortable saying no when a peer comes to them with something that they don't necessarily want to agree to.
Yeah, I love that one. Because, yeah, I mean, you can say it, but then how does it generalize to all the different possibilities? You know, if you can role play a couple different scenarios that might come up, it really helps them to think critically and think a little bit deeper in terms of, oh, this is actually the way you say it. It is making me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Ugh, am I going to feel strong enough to actually say no? You know, so having that those practice opportunities can really help them take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of a side convo to this would be, I actually had a parent who had said to me that they, the daughter has like a, whatever school she goes to, they're allowed to have phones, right? But they're not allowed to be, they signed an agreement that they're not allowed to be in group text messaging for bullying reasons and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a school-wide thing. And oh, wow. Yeah, which I thought was really great. I was like, wow, I've never even heard of this, but how cool. And it's a middle school. So they're like, listen, we're going to stand against bullying or stand up against bullying, right? And nobody can be in group chats. And we're going to all sign this. Similar to like assigning no texting and driving, right? So like signing something like that. Well, apparently all these other girls have started in this group chat. And the little girl, the parent that I was talking with, she didn't want to be in it. But the problem with her not being in it was that she was actually missing out on some things. So in the group chat, a very innocent group chat, they were like, let's all wear headbands tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the daughter comes to school and she's the only one not in a headband. And it was, so of course the parent comes to me and they're like, what do I do? Right. And so what so we decided, hard. Yeah, very difficult situation because there's no right to this. Right. So it's like, well, we could stand by it and say, no, we're not doing this. We're not joining this group chat because you signed this or, you know, and right. So you've got two situations here. So what we decided actually was to go to the girl and say, listen, what are your values? You know, what are your top values here? If social interaction and making sure that you're not an outcast to these girls in school is a higher value right now than potentially, you know, maybe the consequence of getting caught, right? Or honesty, right? You know, which one are you going to rate higher? And, you know, which one's more important to you right now? And I think that helped her kind of understand like what was going to be most important. And I think they actually ended up where the daughter was like, I'm going to join it just for this week because it was like Spirit Week or something. And then I'm going to get off of the chat. And that's what she did. And then it turns out that a teacher found out and the chat got shut down a couple of weeks later anyway. But anyway, that was kind of like a, you know, kind of a side story to this. But I feel like that's where that peer pressure comes in, you know, where you're like,
yeah,
sometimes you get stuck in those situations. And then even as the parent was like, I don't know which way to direct her here because I don't want her to be a social outcast, but I also want her to follow the rules. So what do I do? So it was just a tricky one.
Yeah, that's interesting that the school would put something like that in place because bullying is so rampant. I mean, it's like one of our recent podcast topics.
Right.
But at the same time, it's kind of like you're making an assumption that all group chats are bad.
And, right.
You know, like it's more efficient when you have a couple people that's like, hey, 10 o'clock is when we're going to the beach, everybody.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
So that's tricky. Yeah. I like the approach you took though of like going with value-based decision making. So,
yeah. Yeah, I figured that would set her up for the long run too. You know, when she's older and I don't think she's a teen yet, but when she becomes a teen, she's in high school to help her make those decisions. So
yeah.
And then a couple other things we can do just to help our kids in these, you know, navigate these tricky situations, encouraging them to get involved in activities that are structured and they're around other coaches and teachers. And so there's probably a saying for this, but I don't remember it, but isn't it something like, you know, like when you're kind of like when you're bored is when you get into trouble. But
oh,
I feel like there's like a saying.
My mom used to say an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one I was thinking of.
Remember that from the 80s?
Yes, those 80s. Exactly. Yes. And my mom probably said that to me many times.
Yeah, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. So keep them busy, right? So wherever you can, keep your kids busy, keep them involved, after school stuff, you know, do what you can. And that can really help. And then another one is establishing yourself as a trusted and safe adult to talk to. So I think we talked about something similar on another podcast, but this one can be really tricky to do, and particularly with those teenagers, right? Like, or even middle school, you know, I don't want to talk to you about these things, right? I just don't want to. But I think in order to establish yourself as a trusted adult is to, you know, come at things with an open mind, right? So we're not just going to automatically say, oh, wow, that person said that. Ooh, don't be friends with them anymore, right? Or don't hang out with that person because they do not make good choices, right? So being careful about those, saying those things, and if that's your only solution, right? Well, don't hang out with those friends. Well, got to be careful about that because then your child is less likely to come to you and say, so-and-so brought this to school, right? Or whatever it might be. Because then they're going to, you're only going to say, well, don't hang out with them anymore.
Yeah, you're just gonna shut it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I think it kind of goes back to the value-based decision-making that you made earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like come together and be open to solutions with them, brainstorm together. Like, well, what is important to you? You know, is your health, how high would you rank your health when your friends are going behind the convenience store and smoking, you know,
Right.
You know, and so what do you think we should do about that? I can help you come up with a plan. So yeah, it's about collaboration when you get to be teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can even see that going as far as like a parent saying like, okay, well, it sounds like you can hang out with your friends in this situation and there's no like peer pressure, right? But in this situation at, you know, 4 o'clock, it seems that these friends are peer pressuring you. Let's find a way where you can hang out with them during the non-peer pressure times and then potentially not hang out with them during those peer pressure times, right? So it is about having that open communication. I think it can really help with kids.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then I think along with that, right, being thoughtful about punishing, right? So if your child did come to you, or even if you found out that they did something, right, that you're not so happy about as a parent, just be careful about punishing, right? So yes, there can be consequences, but if we go real hard on that punishment, then kids might be more likely to find ways to hide it or to be like, ooh, I'm gonna be better at hiding it next time, right? So we do have to be careful about that.
Yep, that reminds me of the podcast on lying.
Yes,
exactly. Kelly was talking about we can accidentally create really good liars, you know, if we're not careful with our punishment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are really good ones. I think, yeah, this segues really nicely from that friend peer pressure into online behavior and, you know, how we can keep kids safe in these sort of arenas. So in doing our research, the first one that really stood out to us is, probably to no surprise to a lot of parents, be aware of what your kids are doing online, right? So it might be even sitting with them to see the games. We talk a lot about, can you play the games with your kids? May not be your cup of tea, but you can understand, especially if it's a new game, you can understand what it is. Are there chats? Are there opportunities where your kids are interacting, you know, with people they don't know? Or is it just kind of like the old school Nintendo sort of things? Is it really just hand-eye coordination and kind of, you know, self-contained? What is it, right? So be aware of your kids are doing online, what's going on there, who they're interacting with. The next one is set guidelines for being online. Are there certain apps that are not age appropriate in terms of maybe deadlines or time-based guidelines? And do it with your kids if they're teenagers, right? That kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If you just have a hard, fast rule on something, that can probably backfire on you. So having an open discussion and dialogue about online behavior and what's safe, and, you know, you'll get their buy-in more when it's a discussion rather than kind of a demand.
And, you know, I would add to that one too, I think, and we said it before, but we might have some parents listening now who are her kids are like 16 and you're like, oh no. Right. But if you can, the earlier you can start with creating these systems and contingencies and boundaries, really, you know, the better, because then that's what they get used to. We had a team meeting the other day, Angie, you,
and so I think you know what you're going to say.
Yes, I bet you do. Someone actually said something really cool, and I'm going to steal this. But be careful about labeling your child's device as theirs. Right? Was that the one you were going to say?
I was going to say a different one, actually, about the time.
Okay, well, I'll say this one then first.
Yeah. Okay.
So being careful about labeling their devices theirs, right? So your phone, your tablet, your iPad, right? Because then when you, as the parent, go to set boundaries, they're like, well, wait a second, that's mine. Just like my toys. Mm-hmm. Remember my toys that were always mine? What? This is the same. And what we want to say is, no. Like, I pay for that, or I've purchased that, or that's actually ours. It's the whole
house. The
family
iPad.
Yes. Yeah. And that way you can set those boundaries there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was I think a really powerful, just slight tweak in the way that we're using our language.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good one. So moving along, knowing about parental controls and age filters. So it can be a little bit overwhelming. I remember we kind of dove into this topic with our kids because they wanted to kind of ease into the Minecraft and some of the other games. And it feels overwhelming, but it is a task that is worth taking on. And to your point, Kristen, doing it early, understanding as much as you can. I mean, technology evolves so much faster than we could ever catch up, but just try to your best to stay on top of it. Know the basics, right? Know what the parental controls are, get a hunch of, you know, generally what sort of apps or games your kids are playing, and then definitely look into see what sort of age filters are. Keep in mind too, there are rules in terms of, I think it's age 13.
Yeah.
When you're allowed to have a social media account. So if you've got a 10-year-old that's got a social media account, I think technically that is not allowed. So there are some, you know, general rules that you need to, you know and educate yourself on.
Plus, I feel like that's a really good, good opportunity to be like, that's the rule, right? This is legally, you know, it's 13. Sorry, it's not me. It's the rule. Because I think a lot of parents get themselves into that sticky situation where their kids are saying, but everyone else is doing it, right? And then you as the parent are like, ugh, I know, but I don't want you to, right? And then you kind of get into that battle. So
yeah. Blame it on the rule. It's not
exactly.
Using apps too. We've talked about the app Bark, B-A-R-K. It doesn't have anything to do with us or our company, but this is just one that we keep hearing about, which notifies parents if bullying is going on in text or some sort of text, right? Like if it picks, I don't know how it works, like AI or something. It's pretty neat. It can kind of pick up a certain type of language or like, I don't know, attitude that's leaning towards bullying and let you know.
I think it can also pick up, I don't know, I feel like I've had a couple other parents tell me like it also picks up other things, right? Like, is there sexting going on, for example, or other things that you wouldn't want your child doing? Certain internet sites might be visited or so that I think it can actually do even a little bit more, which
yeah.
is great.
Yeah. So that or other one, I think the main takeaway for this one and just see what's out there in terms of apps that can help you be more aware of your child's online kind of digital footprint, as they say. Also teaching your kids to recognize signs of bullying and harassment. It kind of tips into our, you know, recent podcast on bullying, but definitely understanding what are some signs of harassment online or signs of coercion or, you know, being taken advantage of. I'm trying to think of all the words, right? Like exploitation online.
Yeah.
But be really, you know, be open with your child, especially if they are getting older and diving out more into the online world where they're interacting with others that they don't know. It's really important to identify. And that's, you know, that kind of goes back to a couple of our other points too, where if you have that parenting approach where it's just like, nope, boundaries, nope, this is because I said so, that's not so much giving them the rationale and the learning opportunity. But if you can have a conversation about, look, harassment, coercion, these sort of things, they do happen online. This is what it looks like. This is what to be looking out for. You know, there's a lot of great things about technology, right? So it's, you know, just teaching our kids and empowering them to be smart and informed consumers of technology, you know, can be really a safe, you know, direction to go.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let's see. Teaching. So a couple last things that we pointed out, teaching them that people are not always who they seem online. This is one, you know, stories we hear about this stuff all the time. It can be, you know, pretty elaborate things that can happen.
Oh, I actually have two really good stories on this one. I'll start with one. So I have a family recently that I was talking to, and their son is 10, and he recently started getting on, you know, all the games and all this stuff. And you know, a lot of the games have chat features and all this stuff. So he was talking to someone online and he thought that he was talking to a little bit of an older girl, right? So I think at the moment told me that he thought he was talking to like a 13 or a 14 year old girl, and she was sending him all these cute pictures and all this stuff, right? And so the girl had convinced him to send a picture of an area of his body that should not be sent, picture should not be sent of, right? And unfortunately, she convinced him to do that. But then the moment that he sent the picture, the person who he was talking to automatically went into the scam. And this was an online scam. And the person said, now I have your picture of this, right? I'm going to share this with your parents. I'm going to share this with everyone. I'm going to post it everywhere unless you give me $100. And the boy, of course, eventually told his mom, because first of all, he's not going to come up with $100, right? But this little guy actually had, I think it was something similar to like the green light card or some sort of card of some sort of income, right? Because he's 10, so he might've had some birthday money and stuff. So I think the mom even said like, he tried to figure out a way that he could pay this person, right? And then anyway, so long story short, he ends up going and telling the mom, and the mom was like, oh my goodness, do not worry about this. Like, first of all, let's start here talking about safe behavior online, who we should talk to and all that. And then we'll make this right. Let me talk to you about online scams, right? So that was one that I feel like is, I mean, I don't want to say common, right? But it can happen so easy, and kids can get roped into those things and just not even really know about it.
Well, I think, you know, one thing that's important I just want to point out is these things are always evolving, and these scammers are, you know, getting really smart and creative. So you can't just have a one and done conversation with kids. Like, here is the family iPad. Here, let me kind of go down the rules and regulations. Okay, have at it. It's really important to have ongoing supervision, oversight, ongoing conversations about how things are evolving. Just, you know, I'm sure this parent had good intentions, and so many families go through these things. They have these conversations, and these things still happen. And you can't completely avoid it. But if you're having conversations like this often and openly, you can definitely kind of mitigate some risks.
Absolutely. And this parent in particular, I mean, she was on top of most things technology-based, right? Like, I mean, this would be a parent that would say, I really thought I covered this, right? Like, this one came out of the blue. And so I think that that just proves that, like, you're right, scammers are getting better. Another story. I know I've got a couple, but I have another one that I feel like is one that is a little bit more scary, I think, as a parent. And I had another parent tell me, now this was not the parent I was working with, but this was a family friend, and their little guy, I want to say he was around 10 or 11, which is, based on the story, I feel like he had to be older, but I feel like she told me he was like 10 or 11. So apparently he, again, had met someone online, and maybe through a gaming app of some kind. And turns out that this kid actually stole his parents' car in the middle of the night.
You told me about this.
Yes. And drove the car. And it was only three hours away, right? So the kid, like, at some point got tired, or the mom said he like stopped for gas. I don't think he like got gas, but he stopped. And apparently when he got out of the car, like, a police officer happened to be there at this gas station and stopped him and was like, hey, what's going on? You know? And then obviously, and got his name and informed his parents, brought him home and all this stuff. It's just amazing to think, like, this kid who, you know, the more I tell that story, I'm like, how could he drive at that age? But maybe he has like a go-kart or no, like a golf cart or a, what is the four-wheeler, right? I don't know. But that one just kind of blows my mind, because I feel like obviously it happened. I wonder how many, you know, when stories get told, the details change slightly. So, you know, I don't know about that. But either way, I think this is something to be aware of, and a quite scary story.
Yeah. I mean, what are the odds? What's the ratio of a police officer to the public, you know? So, like, it's probably pretty rare that a police officer just happened to be there. But yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway is, like, we can never really guarantee that our kids are going to be perfect angels all the time, even, you know, with our best efforts. So we have to constantly be, you know, on alert and observant, and continue to have those conversations, you know, yeah. again and again.
I love your idea. Sorry, one more. I love your idea of checking in though, because we talk mm-hmm. a lot about this with parents and saying like checking in on your kids, like with schoolwork and social, you know, just social stuff, like what's going on, right? But I also feel like if your kids are doing stuff online on the computer and all that, like even checking in there and saying, mm-hmm. hey, anything weird happened on the internet this week? Like, anything you want to let me know just in case I can help you troubleshoot, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. I feel like that can be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they may be the kind of kid where they're not going to have their own volition. Yeah. Come to you and be like, mm-hmm. guess what happened? You know, so right? you have to.
This pretty girl is talking to me and sending me pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. Might need to be a little inquisitive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, you know, the last one too, before we wrap up and move into another section, you can't guarantee things will stay private online. People take screenshots. Mm-hmm. People, yeah. you know, the stories you gave were perfect examples. People will share things. It's lightning fast. So mm-hmm. that's just another reminder that you have to continue to reiterate, not just once, but again and again and again. It cuts across so many different topics, right? Bullying, you know, texting inappropriate pictures, on mm-hmm. and on and on. So mm-hmm. you have to, and, you know, we've done topics on this too, when we were in our executive functioning kind of series, but the impulse control and the response right. inhibition, it's not fully formed until the kids are, you know, in their young 20s, right? So mm-hmm. they yeah. still are kind of developing the ability to make good choices, honestly. And so mm-hmm. again, we have to be there to kind of coach them and again, to, you know, to make sure they remember to make those good choices about what they're posting online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So moving into the next one is we're just going to talk a little bit about some ways, and this is probably more applicable to our little ones and probably what you might have done today with your kids. So this is kind of talking about, you know, the good old fashioned, remember when we were little, you know, it was like stranger danger, right? Like mm-hmm. all strangers are bad. And there's been a bit of a shift in that language that we're teaching our kids. And so we don't, I guess the research now is saying, well, we don't really want to teach them that all adults are bad. We just want to give some guidelines surrounding that. Mm-hmm. We need to train them. What does this mean, right? Like, how do we respond? And then when we can, if we can, we need to test our kids' knowledge, right? So we need to make sure, oh, are they going to react appropriately in this situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I'm going to forget what it was on, but I just sent it to you after I found it. But either like way, there was like, it was like a news special that was talking about it. It was actually a little alarming. They tested a bunch of 3-year-olds, I think. And they had a guy drive over. They had the parents watching from like a room, right? And they had the kids playing outside. It's like 3- and 4-year-olds playing outside. And then this guy drove up and he had all these treats in the back of his car. And they, of course, were recording. It was for this news broadcast. And a lot of the kids ran right to him, you know, like, me, I want treats, mm-hmm. right? And these parents were like, oh, wow, like we've had this conversation. We have told them, do not yeah. talk to strangers. Don't go to strangers. And it was alarming what they found. So during that little segment, there were 5 tips that they gave us. And so I'll just go through those, and these can be helpful for your little ones. Mm-hmm. So one would be teach your kids to check with mom or dad or a parent or a caregiver before they're taking anything from someone they don't know, right? So if the rule is you have to ask before you take that, well, then hopefully they're not going to run up to this random person who's offering them candy, right? Mm-hmm. So always have to ask. And then the second one, which I really liked, was teaching kids to take 3 steps back. So anytime if someone comes to you that you don't know, take 3 big steps back. And if it's a dangerous person, they might come forward, right? So they're going to like come at you, but mm-hmm. someone else might just kind of stand there and not come toward you. And then it elaborates on, and if you take 3 steps back and they come forward, then that's your cue to run, right? So run away.
I did that today with my kids.
Oh, okay. Is that the one? I love it.
Yeah. That's one of the couple things that I told them.
Oh,
yeah,
cool. Like, good. Yeah. And then the other one is teaching kids that they can say no to grownups, right? So mm-hmm. we always say like, you have to follow what grownups say, right? But I think sometimes it's okay to be like, no, sometimes you can say no. If this grownup is saying, hey, come with me, your mommy's really mm-hmm. hurt, right? No, you can say no. And then the fourth one is, never give up. Go ahead.
I was going to mention that that's a shift, right? That's kind of like a more modern shift, because back when, I think when we were kids, it was, you know, you need to be obedient and you need to follow what adults say. I think things were a lot more just cut and dry back then, right? Stranger, stranger danger, strangers are bad. You know, you cannot say, right? And now we're getting into this phase of self-advocacy, and kids do need to kind of understand that they can say no to protect themselves. And, you know, and yeah, it's kind of empowering them in a way so that they don't feel conflicted. Like, oh, I know I'm supposed to always follow adults, but So just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good call out. Yeah. And then, yeah. So the fourth one, never give out. And this is actually one I just recently talked to my kids about. So never give out personal information to people that they don't know. Is that the other one you told them today?
I told them the last one.
So never give personal information. And then number five, so generally speaking, no adult should ask a kid for help or to keep a secret. So super important to teach your kids that.
Yeah, that's the other one I told them. Because this particular park that the kids are at right now, they a lot of people take their pets. And I could just easily – you know, there's so many scenarios, right? But something that seems so innocent, like, oh, I can't find my dog. Can you guys help me? I just feel like my kids would be like, sure. We'll help you find your dog. Totally. And, you know, and I just have this, I don't want my kids to be afraid of people because, you know, statistics show most people are not kidnappers. The vast majority of people are not kidnappers or are going to, you know, do something terrible to you. But, you just never know. And so it's better to have an understanding and general guidelines. But it is true if you think about it logistically, right? Adults are not going to go to little kids and ask for their help or certainly not ask them to keep a secret, because that is a whole other can of worms, I think, is even more dangerous. You know, so I think it's a good guideline for them to be like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I can't help you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's great. And I think where you, like you said, think of where those examples, of course, you'll never be able to think of all of them, but that is one that I could imagine someone doing, right?
Yeah.
I can't find my dog, you know?
Right. So, yeah. Well, and I think we use that example of, you know, the candy, don't take candy from strangers. Right. It's like, okay, but there are unlimited other examples. And I, you know, it's a little scary.
Yeah. I think, the kidnappers have evolved past candy these days. we've got to expand it.
Well, so as we're kind of wrapping up, we just had a couple of general tips too that we wanted to share. One is teach your kids your phone number, you or, you know, another parent, another trusted adult in their life. Make sure that they know how to reach you if they're, you know, not with you, just kind of to tether them, you know, back to you. If you're out in public, arranging a meeting point, I think a lot of parents have had that scary moment. I know when we were at Disneyland a couple months ago, we lost our 10-year-old temporarily because she just was like on a mission to try and find a Disneyland hoodie. And she saw one and she just went to it. Yeah. And it was packed and we lost our phone. And that was really scary.
Yes.
And then tell your kids to look for, well, again, what are the chances that a police officer is going to be right there? So, you know, they are trusted people, but they are probably not as abundant as, you know, maybe a store worker, a store clerk, or a parent with kids, right? So if you don't know, these are more likely to be people that are going to be able to help you. No offense to someone that's not a parent, but you know, somebody that's with children, you know,
Exactly.
A store worker, somebody that has a badge, they're working there. They're good people to approach if you get lost.
That's a good one. That's the one I use with my kids too, because we go to so many different places and they could easily, okay, so I should preface this with my middle child. She tends to just wander off as hard as, I mean, I try to keep her with me, but she is my child and I got lost so much as a kid because I just got excited and I would wander off. I just would go away. So she's already wandered off a couple times. And so I've had to have this conversation with her already and say, listen, if you lose mommy, here is who you can go to. And then I also say to them all the time, you know, this is helpful for the little ones, right? But I say, if you can't see me, I can't see you. So that means that you're too far out of the zone. So I use those ones quite a bit.
Did she ever hide in the clothing racks at the store?
No, not yet. Not yet. But let me tell you what she did, which is crazy. So one of the three times so far we've lost her. She's only five. So we were at, she had like a little gymnastics show for her class. It was really cute. And it was wrapping up. Everyone was done. And I was only had two with me. So the baby wasn't with me, but I had Parker and then Kiki. And I was like, we gotta go, you know? And so she's like kind of getting her shoes and all this stuff. And so I left like the main gymnastics room, but I didn't walk outside. And there was a whole bunch of people like in the foyer of the entrance. So she just apparently just decided to bolt outside thinking, oh, mommy and Parker went outside. So she's outside by herself. And I'm like frantically, there's probably like 75 people in this building. And I'm frantically looking. Where did she go? I can't find her. Where'd she go? And I'm like, Parker, do you see her? Where'd she go? And then I'm just like, I looked everywhere, the bathroom, like I'm looking everywhere. And then I know. And so then I'm going like, now I'm finally toward the door and a woman comes in holding her hand and she's like hysterically crying and she's and this mom, I think she was another mom, but she came in, she goes, she was just outside standing by your car and she was just crying. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, and so I had to tell her like, I will never leave a building without you. Like it won't happen. And she like ran out in a parking lot. I mean, it was very scary, but that was my most scary mom moment of losing her.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, you know, it's the scary, you try your best, but.
Right. But it's just innocent. You know, she's just like, okay, I'm going to go to the car. Right. And she wasn't thinking that I wasn't already up the car and she didn't have the wherewithal to be like, mom's not here. I'm going to turn, maybe I'll go back inside. Like she just turned five. So at the time she was only four. So she just didn't know, you know? So.
Yeah. I think mainly what we're talking about really is just how can we reduce the risk wherever we can? Right. But I mean, that's a good example.
Yeah, you know, things will happen.
We've lost our kids a couple times too. Yeah. It's like, hey, we're, you know, I'd say we're pretty, you know, pretty decent parents, you and I. Right. But, you know, these things are just going to happen every once in a while. And so if we can do things to reduce the risk, that's, you know, that sets us up, you know, much better for success. So the very last thing that we want to talk about, we just want to make a note about teens. We found this to be really interesting. There was a site that we found and it said more crimes are committed against teenagers than any other age group. So if you think about that, if you have teenagers, this is kind of that time where that they're more at risk of being recipients of crimes. And so it is really, really important to talk with your kids about this. So things like stick to busy or maybe well-lit roads if you're out and about, cross the road if, you know, something doesn't feel right, or go into a crowd if you think that you're being followed, right? So if you cross a couple times, you go a couple different ways, and this maybe a same person is still following you and making eye contact with you, something like that. You just want to keep yourself safe. So it's always good to strengthen numbers, right? And stay alert. This is something I see all the time, teenagers, and not just teenagers too, you know, adults, but they're very engrossed in what they're doing. They're looking down, they're getting sucked into their device and they are not paying attention to their surroundings. So there is a time and a place to enjoy fun videos on your phone. But when you're trying to walk across the street or it's dark and you're alone, that is not the time to be, you know, tinkering around on your device. So these are a lot of common, you know, kind of common sense stuff, but again, having these conversations openly and often could really save your kids from, you know, some potential harm or risk.
Oh, that last one was such a good one because, and I love the way you said it, right? Like there's a time and a place for that. But if you're crossing the street or you're, you know, coming home from your job, right? And you happen to be riding your bike or something, like it's not the time to be staring at your phone. Yeah. So. Yeah,
you know what's so interesting? The last weekend, my husband took the kids on a camping trip, which was really fun. You know, and I had other things going on, so I wasn't able to go. And so I was working on my dissertation, actually. I was working, working, working all day. And I was like, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to go see the Barbie movie by myself. And I was so excited to do that. And then it was nighttime when it got out. And I was walking through a parking garage and I was by myself. And I'm thinking, okay, this is very rare that I'm in a situation like this. But I had my key and I kind of put my key in my hand in a certain way. I'm being very observant. I wanted to look at my phone because I wanted to FaceTime the kids and stuff. But I waited until I got home. I knew that probably wasn't a good idea. I'm looking around my car because I parked – I like to park far away so nobody, you know, opens their door and hits my car. So, of course, I'm like, God, this is the time where that's not ideal.
Right,
it's like a parking garage and my car's way at the end and so I'm alone. So it was a little bit scary, but, you know, I was very alert. I was walking very quickly, had my phone in my purse and kind of kept my key and got in and locked the door right away.
Yep.
So just, you know, it's just one of those things. You got to be aware of your surroundings.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny. I do the lock the door trick every time I'm by myself anywhere and I get in my car, I just lock it right away. Like I just, it's kind of a habit for me now, but yeah, I mean, I do the same thing when I'm with my kids. I mean, of course you hear all these stories and that's why we kind of started the episode with like, is it scarier now? Because I hear all these stories of like someone trying to like take your kid out of the shopping cart and when you're loading up your groceries, you know? So like, so now I just follow all these things. I'm like, okay, I put my kids in first. I turn on the car. I lock them in. I put them in the groceries, you know? So I feel like I'm probably on the other side where I'm like maybe too cautious, but you know, I think it's good to have a happy balance and be cautious. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on our 39th episode of Behaviorally Speaking. On our next episode, we will be discussing work-life balance and parental self-care. So until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode.
You've been listening to Behaviorally Speaking with Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi, brought to you by Rethink Care. Find out more at rethinkcare.com. You can find past podcast episodes under the Resources tab. We also invite you to subscribe, follow, like, and leave us feedback wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us prepare topics and content for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.